The meeting is being called to order. Ms. Sewell, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus.
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Aiden O'Brien.
Here.
Trustee Leland Strom.
Here.
Trustee Eric Watsowitz.
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales.
Here, here. Good morning, Ms. Barrett. Would you please confirm that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been provided and that we have a quorum present?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided. Let's go to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So made, Strom.
Second, O'Brien.
Now may I have a motion to amend, I want to call the question. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Now, may I have a motion to amend that motion in order to approve a consent agenda as follows. Action items 7A1 through 7A3. That was a period at the end of that. I'm looking for a motion at this point.
So made, Strom.
Second, Athus.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Second motion now to move up the presentation.
And I'd like to do a second motion to move up the presentation for
eSports.
Ahead of the president's report.
So moved, O'Brien.
Second, Watsowitz.
Any discussion?
What's the reason?
Well, you know, I'll be frank with you. We want to make sure that our student has an opportunity to take a final today, which is always important. So that's the primary reason.
We're all for that.
Yes, yes. So hearing no discussion, call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. I want to welcome any University Advisory Committee UAC representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Benjamin Creed, Brad Kripe, Larissa Garcia, Natasha Johnson, Thomas Kuczynski. Do any of you have any comments?
Not today, besides happy holidays as they come.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You're saying that to the entire group, so thank you. With that said, this is an opportunity for me to give my comments. And I want to just be brief and say, I know we're all accustomed to saying thank you right around the Thanksgiving holiday, but you know, in my house, we also say thank you around this particular part of the holidays. And what are we thankful for? We're really thankful for the leadership that we have for the university. I'm thankful for my colleagues here, and I know as I speak for my colleagues, we're also thankful for the support staff and faculty that make this university click. Why are we here? We're here really to support students. This isn't a business that we're making widgets, we're making leaders. We wouldn't be able to do that if we didn't have a community as strong as we have. So I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to the folks that are making this place work. And I look forward, and I know that we still have the rest of the year to complete. And I know that we're also on a calendar year format for our holidays, but we're on a fiscal year for our operations. So you'll probably hear this speech again at the end of June when that time is right. But I want to say thank you. And I want to also acknowledge the fact that we do have a special holiday. And many of us have gone through trials and tribulations through the year. You probably know some of those folks. They're part of our community. I'd ask you to just reach out to those folks. This is a very stressful time of year for a lot of folks. And you may know them. They may be a part of your lives. Don't assume that everyone is doing well. Reach out to them, okay? I want to say Merry Christmas with that said. I want to say Happy Hanukkah with that said. Hanukkah begins on the 25th. It runs through the 2nd. Support all of our religious folks. Our spirits are high during this time of year, and I hope you all have a wonderful holiday season. I will. I know I will. With that said, we recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Perry, have we received any timely request to address this meeting?
Morning again, Mr. Chair. You have 5 members of the public that registered for public comment. And I will go through the names and see who's in the audience. The first name that we have registered is Mr. Steve Hendy. You can approach the podium.
And how many minutes do they have to speak?
Our regulations say 5 minutes per speaker.
Thank you. My name is Steve Hendy. I'm the president of Showing Animals Respect and Kindness, an animal protection organization. I'm here about Northern Public Radio's errant and biased coverage of steer tailing in Boone County. I want to read some excerpts from articles posted about steer tailing on Northern Public Radio's website over the past 3 years. From a November 1st, 2022 article, quote, "Some of the complaints were about the treatment of rodeo animals, a common complaint for all rodeos," unquote. Sharks' evidence in Boone County cannot be passed off as a common complaint for all rodeos. The electroshocking of exhausted animals, the beatings, the absence of veterinary care for the injured, and so on, all of which are illegal. These aren't common complaints. A March 17, 2023 article states, quote, "Rodeo proponents argue the opposition to charrerias is rooted in animosity toward the growing Latino community." False. This is an attempt to avoid responsibility for illegal animal abuse. A journalist reviewing our video evidence would see that. December 8, 2023, quote, "Some targets of shark tell WNIJ the group goes too far and that the tactics amount to harassment," unquote. That's an utterly prejudicial statement with no opportunity for response from us. Targets? What targets? The article doesn't say. The group goes too far. In what way? The article doesn't say. This reads like a gossip rag. More from the article. Quote, "Rodeo operators tell WNIJ that in the 2023 rodeo season, participants were no longer using those prods." In fact, electric prods were used in 2023 and still in 2024. We have the video proof, which NPR personnel refused to even look at, much less report. Instead, they just post inaccuracies. From an October 2, 2024 article, quote, "The assistant state's attorney has reminded the board repeatedly," that's the Boone County Board, "that under Illinois law, steer tailing is not illegal," unquote. The assistant state's attorney, Carla Mayville, has repeatedly claimed that steer tailing is not illegal, but she's flat out wrong. The Illinois Humane Care for Animals Act never mentions steer tailing because laws are written broadly. There is no law, for instance, that says you can't shoot a nail gun into a dog's eye or a person's eye, but it certainly is illegal. Instead of examining the assistant state's attorney's claim, a false claim was simply accepted as fact. You know what is specifically illegal? Overworking an animal to the point of exhaustion, shocking the daylights out of those exhausted animals, denying an injured animal veterinary care, beating an animal, the things that NPR isn't reporting. It's not just the animal abuse. A Boone County ordinance requires identification bibs on all rodeo contestants, but the ordinance is regularly flouted and never prosecuted, and that is not reported by NPR. An ordinance requiring on-call veterinarians at these events is regularly violated. Rodeo producers have brought in vets with no Illinois license, which is illegal, yet Boone County knowingly gives them permits. NPR doesn't report that. Fraudulent information about security companies is put on permit requests, and still the county grants those permits. In at least one case, a fictitious, non-existent company was entered in the permit application. All that fraud isn't newsworthy? Boone County's absolute inaction in dealing with illegal animal abuse over years is a strong indictment of the corruption in Boone County. That's newsworthy. Please review the code of ethics of organizations such as the Society of Professional Journalists or the Radio Television Digital News Association. Northern Public Radio should not support criminal animal abuse. Support journalistic integrity, report the illegal animal abuse, and examine Boone County's illogical support for criminal activity connected to steer tailing. NPR should report the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
No, thank you for being timely as well as your response. Thank you. And I understand there may be some others, but I want to be clear and let you all know that NIU and its board does not and should not have any influence or control over the editorial decisions of its affiliate media organizations, including WNIU. Reporting is at the complete independent discretion of WNIU editorial teams. I ask that you please take your concerns directly to the editors for their consideration. So I understand there may be some others that will be coming to speak, and that's our comment on that. So please, the next speaker.
Next speaker, we have registered, and pardon me if I get the name incorrect, Michael Kobliska.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good morning, board. My name is Mike Kobliska. I'm an investigator with SHARC, Showing Animals Respect and Kindness. I'm here to talk about the same issue Steve did. We want to ask that Northern Public Radio start employing journalistic ethics that have been sadly lacking in the past few years in NPR's coverage of the steer-tailing controversy in Boone County. Criminal animal abuse has been ignored, while false claims of racism have been promoted. SHARC is an animal protection organization. Along with other issues, we've investigated rodeos nationwide for more than 30 years. The vast majority of these rodeos are sanctioned by American rodeo associations. In 2022, SHARC began video documenting unsanctioned private rodeos in Boone County. This effort is a continuation of decades of work to protect rodeo animals generally. Our video evidence shows illegal animal abuse that violates the Illinois Humane Care for Animals Act. Scared, docile steers are overworked to the point of exhaustion as they are run over and over again. Individual steers may be run as many as a couple dozen times in a single day. Overworking is a violation of the Humane Care for Animals Act. Because they are exhausted, the steers are repeatedly shocked with electricity over and over again to the point where they can't get up anymore, so they have to use these electric prods. Overworking is a violation of the Humane Care for Animals Act as well. Because they are exhausted, the steers are repeatedly shocked with electricity or they're stuck with sharp objects. That's torture, and that is also illegal. When injured, the steers have been left to suffer without veterinary care. This includes broken horns, broken legs, broken backs, and having their tails ripped off. Horses are slapped and punched in the face. They're harshly reined, and they're raked with sharp spurs to the point that they can be cut open. It is illegal to beat any animal in Illinois. So what makes these unsanctioned events different from the county fair rodeos that happen all over Illinois? Animals in sanctioned rodeos are used once a day, not one or two dozen times. Animals are not routinely and repeatedly shocked in sanctioned rodeos. The Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association requires an on-site veterinarian for the duration of all its events, while the private unsanctioned rodeos in Boone County historically have had no veterinarian. And the injured animals are left to simply suffer. Contestants are heavily fined for beating horses at sanctioned rodeos. One contestant caught striking his horse last year was fined $2,000. At unsanctioned Boone County rodeos, however, horses are regularly punched, hit, and whipped in the face without penalty. For 30-plus years, SHARC has approached all rodeos the same way. We video document and expose the abuse. But now we are accused of being racist. Reporter Maria Gardner-Lara quotes people connected to the unsanctioned events who say they're being discriminated against, but her articles do not include the mountain of evidence of illegal animal abuse we have consistently accumulated at every single steer-tailing event we go to. Steve Hindy, the president of SHARC, has met with reporter Maria Gardner-Lara. They've had a number of civil conversations. Steve has tried to get her to look at our documentation, which he carries around on his laptop, but she will not look at the evidence. We have tried to get her email address so we can send her the documentation, but she refuses to give it to us. Some time back, Steve Hindy personally went to the radio station with his laptop and spoke with General Manager Stacy Hosta. Ms. Host refused to look at our video documentation of steer tailing. Instead, she suggested that Steve look at the steer tailing issue through Ms. Gardner-Lahr's filter. She actually said that he should look at the issue through her filter. Journalism does not include filters. Journalism is the absence of a filter. Filtered news is another term for propaganda. I ask that Northern Public Radio stop posting propaganda and adhere to the ethics of journalism. Please look at the ethics, or please look at the evidence and report the truth. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Next to me is Ms. Catherine Cruz. Catherine? Okay. Next we have Jody Whitaker.
Good morning, NIU trustees.
Good morning.
I started working for Showing Animals Respect and Kindness again back in September. I say again because I worked for them 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, I was horrified what I witnessed when I watched the videos of rodeos. Rodeos all over the world. Fast forward 20 years, and I'm working for them again. And to say that I was incensed is minor. To see that this extreme animal abuse that's illegal in Illinois is continuing to happen 20 years later. This should not be happening. It should not be happening in our state. Seeing gentle steers and horses being beaten in the face, electrically shocked all over their bodies, bitten by men, bitten on their tail, time and time again. This is what's happening at these steer tailing events. It's just too hard to watch sometimes. When these steers are shocked with electricity or stabbed with needles, kicked in the face, they jump. They're in tiny chutes and they cannot get away. And men are abusing them in every way they can think of. They take their tails, they rake them on the fence till they're raw, they kick them in the face. We have footage of this. And it's nothing's being done about it. And they're just trying to escape the torment. They're trying to escape the pain, but they can't. And then they're confused. They don't understand why they are being abused so much. These are just gentle, domesticated animals. These are not wild animals that are just trying to escape pain and suffering, and they can't. If any one of you in this room with a heart were to watch our footage, you would feel just as I do. If you care for your dog, your cat, or any companion animal, you would not want this happening to any other animal. I have reached out personally to almost every elected official in Boone County, from Animal Services Director Rick Borrett up to State's Attorney Tricia Smith. They don't respond to us. I have sent email upon email, following up from my last email, and nobody responds. The only one in Boone County who has actually given us the time of day is Sheriff Yunk, but now he's starting to give us the runaround. When we reached out to NIU President Lisa Freeman a couple months ago, her assistant told us that Northern Public Radio has journalistic freedom. But NIU funds Northern Public Radio. It also doesn't allow, journalistic freedom doesn't allow reporters to lie or tell untruths, which she is doing. Calling animal protectors racist is a lie, and it's abhorrent to hear. I have many Latino and Hispanic friends who condemn this violence against animals. This is not culture. This is illegal. In addition, the evidence is crystal clear. Steer tailing violates Illinois. Like Steve and Mike have mentioned, beating animals, overworking animals, these things are illegal in Illinois. We're a progressive state that has a very progressive law on the books to protect animals. It's not being enforced. All the elected officials are keeping their heads in the sand, and I truly believe none of them are watching this footage. So regardless if a reporter cares about animals or not, their duty is to report the truth. Their duty is to report what is happening. And that's not what's happening. This reporter is claiming that anybody who is against this activity is racist. And that is not true. That is a lie. I know that your body has power. And you stated, sir, that you know, it's up to the editors at the paper. Well, the editors at the paper are not taking this seriously. Nobody is. So I'm urging you to use your power to make sure that NPR does their due diligence and report the truth and report a very in-depth investigative piece on this illegal activity that's happening in DeKalb County here, in Boone County, in Ogle County. You have a lot of influence, and I hope you will take this to heart and protect those who cannot protect themselves. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Again, thank you for your comments.
The last speaker we have this morning is Terry Rossi.
Thank you for listening. Good morning. Good morning. I'm a 32-year resident of rural Boone County. About 7 years ago, a new neighbor moved in across the street from me. They had what I thought were horse parties. After several parties with increasing crowds and noise, I paid to attend the next event to see for myself. It was a backyard rodeo where steer tailing is the only event. My concern at the event was about the number of beer cans the horses had to step on. Most of the riders were drinking. I was not positioned in a place to see other animal abuse at that time. Most of the crowd was there to see the five bands. Boone County temporary permit allows for amplified music for any animal show, which is a loophole for having a 6 to 8 hour concert in ag districts while holding an animal show that lasts maybe 3 to 4 hours. They make a ton of money. First, I wrote to my neighbor to ask for the noise to be reduced. That was ignored. Then I went to my county board to complain about the noise, ask that they improve the language of their code, and investigate animal safety. I was asked that first night by a board member if I didn't think I was being prejudiced when I was told, and then I was told there was not much I could do because they had a permit. I invited an animal rights group called Shark to my property to drone the next rodeo. We saw shock sticks used excessively, people repeatedly hitting their horses in the head, whipping them, spurring them, using bridle bits that cut mouths, steers run till they literally break. All clear violations of the Illinois Humane Care for Animals Act. My county has been permitting these rodeos for 20 years. No one complained in the past because no rodeo locations were near other homes. People didn't know what was going on until things were revealed as more rodeos recently popped up because word spread about how much money could be made. An NPR journalist has been covering the Boone County rodeo issue, although I don't know if they ever attended a rodeo. Most of the reporting focuses on discrimination. In a March 26, 2023 article, it was reported that Bob Babcock, a well-known advocate for social justice matters in Winnebago and Boone counties, attended a meeting and told WNIJ, "I don't think it's as much about animal abuse as racism," he said. "First, it was a noise thing, and I think the person that may have brought this just simply didn't like people that have maybe a darker skin, a different culture living next to them." Well, that racist person that Bob Babcock is referring to is me. The NPR reporter quoted hearsay about me from someone I've never met who attended one meeting about rodeos, while I've attended over 100 meetings on the matter. I am the original noise complainer, and I'm here to tell you that once I saw how animals were being treated with my own eyes, I had two fights to win. I shouldn't ever have to listen to an 8-hour concert, and I shouldn't have to live in a county that does not uphold the state law. That is the real story. I've looked back at what I believe to be every single article about rodeos written by NPR. The only description their reporter ever gives of steer tailing is, quote, "Steer tailing is a horse rider attempting to knock down a castrated steer by grabbing its tail." Not one word about shock sticks, broken legs, fractured skulls and spines, spurring, whipping, hitting horses, or running steer through the process until they can no longer stand. No mention that the steer's tails are often ripped off. No mention of the fact that vets are on call but often never called. No mention of the hours of video footage clearly showing violations. No mention of the rules that American rodeos must follow. For example, the number one rule is one run per animal. The steer used for these backyard rodeos are run dozens of times at each event, which increases injuries. NPR reported on March 28, 2023, that Charles told WNIJ the local rodeos follow the rules and regulations of the Mexican Federation of Charrería, yet no information about what those rules are was given. And I can tell you they do not follow the rules of the Mexican Federation of Charrería because the Federation only runs an animal one time and they would never allow a drunk rider. It was, all the reporting is about discrimination and that's it. That's the extent of the reporting, about discrimination, not about what's actually happening, not about the steers having their tails ripped off. The Illinois Department of Agriculture no longer gets involved in rodeo issues, and it leaves it up to county officials to monitor rodeo events. They offer guidelines to follow. Why does my county permit what it can't enforce? Why is one group of people allowed to rip an animal's tail off in the name of heritage when that action clearly violates an existing state law? And why did Illinois pass a law and then abandon regulating it after so much progress had been made in making American rodeos safer for animals?
I'm sorry, ma'am. You've reached your limit, but could close it out for us.
That's where the real story is, and I'm leaving you photos from our video footage.
Okay.
That was never reported.
I appreciate your passion and your comments, all of you. Thank you very much.
That concludes public comment.
We're going to move on to agenda item 6, reports of board committees and board liaisons. The reports of the board committees and board liaisons can be found under agenda item 6. Do any of the trustees have any questions or comments regarding the written reports, items 6A through 6D, 6F, and 6G? Hearing none, we're going to move on at this time, Vice Chair John Butler, University's Civil Service Merit Board representative, who will provide a verbal report for item 6E.
I don't have a verbal report, so we'll just assume that it's where it was at the last report.
Thank you. Before we go into the President's report, I believe we're going to go to our student.
Before the President's report, John have a report?
He's
okay. Yeah. Then yes, we can go to the presentation from the eSports.
And for the record, this is agenda item 7C4, entitled NIU eSports, Using Video Games to Drive Recruitment, Engagement, and Retention Presentation. And it's given by Connor Vagel, Eli Curry, and Logan Kovganka.
Thank you, Madam.
Good morning, esteemed members of the NIU Board of Trustees, President Freeman, and members of the President's Office.
Good morning.
My name is Connor Vagel, Director of the NIU Esports Program. I'm joined this morning by Eli Curry, our Esports Community Ambassador, Logan Kovganka, a member of our Esports Varsity Teams, who is enrolled in the Esports Industry Professions Academic Minor, and additional student representatives from across our program. Can I get the next slide, please? A department within the Division of Outreach, Engagement, could I get the next slide, please? There we go. A department within the Division of Outreach, Engagement, and Regional Development, NIU Esports is an inclusive co-curricular program for gamers of all backgrounds, abilities, and skill levels to play video games and have fun together. Esports, more generally, can be described as a multifaceted social and competitive environment centered around video games, much akin to traditional sports. Housed in the NIU Esports Arena in Altgeld Hall, our program supports a number of efforts centered around three guiding principles or pillars: building community, promoting healthy gaming practices, and supporting new technologies in learning and research. In turn, each of these guiding principles also allow us to address the themes of the 2024 university goals, including student recruitment, success, and experience, and research, scholarship, artistry, and engagement. If we could move to the next slide, please. I wanted to provide a brief timeline of the history of our program. So in fall of 2018, the program was founded, as many of you may be aware. We opened our first esports arena in Neptune North in the spring of 2019, and were able to grow into having our first varsity teams the fall of that year. The esports industry professions minor was established in the fall semester of 2020, and in spring 2022, we actually outgrew the Neptune space and moved into the lower level of Alt-Geld Hall where we are now. We hosted our inaugural Healthy Gaming Day conference. You'll hear a little bit more about that later in fall of 2023. And we were really excited to have our varsity teams attend their in-person conference championships for the first time this fall. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Eli to talk a little bit about our first couple pillars.
No pressure. No, we have a time limit. I apologize. When it comes to our core pillars, our first one is building community. And the way that NIU Esports does that, first and foremostly, is through hosting on-site student gatherings downstairs in Alt-Geld Hall. We do this in a variety of ways. It is expressed in a variety of ways. These gatherings do take place in person in the arena, but we also host digital online meetings through social media platforms for students who are remote and do not attend physical classes, as well as those who are back at home. We do find, however, that the nature of esports as a competitive endeavor encourages in-person meeting and places an emphasis on communication, collaboration, and leadership skills, which require us to have a physical space for students to be able to come. We have also seen student retention and engagement as the students organize and lead their own group activities. They do this in a variety of ways, which we can classify in three main channels. The first being open play, which you can consider something akin to a computer lab where students come in and have their own free reign. Student clubs, which are, again, student-led effort, where the students organize and decide which games they play and for how long. And varsity engagement, which is where students are playing on varsity teams in games that are sanctioned by NIU and the ESC, which we will address a little bit later. All of these things work towards our student recruitment, which is a major goal. And we believe that we are seeing positive outcomes. If we can move to the next slide, you will see that the esports arena has registered more unique visitors every single year over the past 4 years. This also accounts for the transition from Neptune Hall to Alt-Geld Hall, which provided a much larger venue. But even still, we are still seeing an increase in numbers year over year for students who are attending our esports arena. And those students are remaining engaged. If we move on to the next slide, I mentioned that our primary engagement came in the form of student clubs. The largest of these is the Husky Gaming Club, a student club which hosts meetings, engages in intramural competition through practices and remote competition from inside the arena, and also serves a wide net of student interests, not only providing a framework for students to compete in games which the ESC and NIU do not offer, but also by hosting social gaming events, such as Castle Siege, a weekly in-person Super Smash Bros. Tournament which serves NIU's growing Smash Brothers player base with a tournament structure to practice and socialize with their peers. It also serves as a pipeline for players who wish to pursue their craft to the utmost level as part of the NIU Varsity Esports program. For those who enjoy non-competitive aspects of gaming, the Gaming for All Club has emerged as a space for casual gaming, which promotes women and traditionally marginalized genders in esports and gaming as wider communities, with lower stakes in regards to competitive outcomes, but with a greater emphasis on maintaining the values of inclusion and diversity inside our arena space and throughout NIU esports as a culture. So we move to the next slide. I will return to our varsity teams, which are serving as a pathway to professional development, a means of engagement and recruitment. NIU varsity competes in 5 varsity games: Overwatch 2, League of Legends, Rocket League, Valorant, and starting soon, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We field a roster of around 30 students who compete in the Esports Collegiate Conference, which we are a founding member of alongside other MAC schools. Varsity competitions offer a tremendous opportunity to develop career skills, not just the critical thinking and detail-oriented focus required to succeed as players, which I will take a moment to mention, we do. Congratulations to our Overwatch 2 team who qualified for a national competition that will happen later in the spring semester, as well as our Rocket League team who made it to the MAC finals to compete in Sandusky, Ohio, just this last month.
Congrats.
But however, it is not just our players who receive this opportunity to develop their skills. Because our matches are live broadcast and streamed on Twitch, we also employ student workers who work as broadcasters, managing the live broadcast, commentating the events. We also have social media interns who watch and edit footage, posting it on social media to maintain engagement with NIU students, alumni, as well as prospective students who are engaged in esports and want to pursue a pathway to professional play. We believe that the varsity team represents an opportunity for NIU esports to stand at the forefront of development, a way to ensure that players are stronger every day and become better every day in ways that extend beyond their gameplay. If we move towards our next slide, we are in the process of continuing to recruit students. We visit local high schools and community college. We also host events in the NIU esports arena. We are present on campus days such as Welcome Homes in the Week of Welcome through providing equipment rentals where we will bring gaming consoles and act as attendants for those who will be out and about. We also attend events throughout DeKalb County. We were downtown DeKalb for the Pride event in June down at the Egyptian Theater with some setups and equipment for people to enjoy as they were around at the festivities. So we want to make sure that our esports program is not limited solely towards the arena space. If we can move to the next slide. Our biggest effort as far as outreach comes from playing host to the Illinois High School Esports Association's state championships. Each semester, NIU hosts roughly 400 students plus their parents and coaches from all around the state of Illinois. We have CPS schools in attendance, but we also get folks from as far southwest as Salem, Illinois. We have admissions representatives on site to directly interface with prospective students, and we've partnered with the EMMC to provide NIU swag to participants. Geofencing delivers customized advertising to attendees, which promote the entirety of NIU's campus and culture during the duration of the event. If you'll move to the next slide, you will see some photographs of some of the students who participate in this, and you can see some of the scale of this. I was able to participate in running one of these events in the summer, and we had over 100 students in one room sitting down to play at the same time. It was a large collection of players, to be sure, and it was also a first chance to make a first impression on parents, many of whom do not know that these competitions are organized and which are responsible. And this is what brings us to our next pillar, if we go to our next slide, which is promoting healthy gaming practices. It does not go without saying that many see gaming as a negative endeavor, something which ostracizes students from their community, which distracts their focus, and which causes problems in professional development. At NIU Esports, we do not shy away from this issue. In fact, we stand shoulder square to the task. We stand to balance the nature of casual and competitive gaming with student work and studies, with scholarship and entrepreneurial spirit. We also enforce the NIU Esports Code of Conduct, which does not stand for bigotry or intolerance, which mandates that students play respectfully, remembering that the people across the screen from them also have names and faces. We also battle the stigmas of unhealthy gaming. We are in collaboration, if we can move to the next slide, with Dr. Levi Harrison to develop a Fierce Gamer program. And what it means to be a Fierce Gamer is to treat gaming as something like an active sport. Think of kayaking or rock climbing. The goal is to engage the mind, to get your blood pumping and your mind racing. Why? To practice those critical thinking abilities and those detailed decision making in a high stress environment with low stakes. so that when you are in a medium stress environment with very high stakes, you are already prepared for the task at hand. Dr. Harrison has developed a program which teaches holistic health and well-being, and his partnership has been not just that, but also financial, as he has extended support to NIU students who best exemplify what it means to be a Fierce Gamer with a Fierce Gamer scholarship. He was also the first keynote speaker in our Healthy Gaming Day event, if you will move to the next slide, which is an annual professional development workshop for Scholastic Educators, which has solidified NIU Esports as a leader in healthy gaming, where we share our expertise with middle school, high school, and community college students. The inaugural event took place in fall 2023 and featured Dr. Levi Harrison, as well as partnerships with Superbetter and Guardians MH. We will now pass the microphone back to Connor.
Thank you, Eli. All right. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about our final pillar, which is supporting new technologies in learning and research. And while the first two pathways and pillars really focused on that first set of university goals in the recruitment retention side of things, this pillar is really where we hone in on some of the research and artistry. And so how do we support new technology in student learning and research? Like Eli said, esports can be looked at very akin to traditional sports. And so it's not just the gameplay element, it is a wide-ranging industry, very similar to traditional sports in that fashion. And so we're looking at having opportunities for student success that are all across that that range. These include opportunities for co-curricular collaboration and academic enrichment, as well as just providing unique opportunities in the emerging field of esports. So as we move to the next slide, we'll talk a little bit more about those specific opportunities. One of those is the Turtle Beach sponsorship. So this year we were able to secure our a sponsorship with Turtle Beach. And Turtle Beach is actually one of the leading esports gaming peripherals companies out there. And we are really excited because we're one of only two schools across the entire country that has a partnership with Turtle Beach. So this programmatic sponsorship supports things like arena operations, the internship program, our varsity teams, and it's very student-focused, including participation in feedback sessions. So one of the things that we want to provide students, that co-curricular opportunity, are partnerships across the university where they're doing research. They're working on figuring out what opportunities there are within the peripherals to make them even better. And then Turtle Beach is providing them that opportunity to serve on focus groups that specifically dictate what product iterations will be over the next couple years. Turtle Beach is also supporting an annual scholarship to leaders within the varsity program, so this is a very holistic partnership. But talking a little bit more about that internship program, if we move to the next slide, each semester we employ roughly 10 students, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, to be paid interns within the esports program. This program focuses on career readiness, and the roles that these students are serving in are very tailored to their individual studies. So like Eli mentioned a little bit earlier, these roles are not just student worker roles, some are graduate assistants, and they're working in areas such as coaching, content creation and video editing, graphic design, health services, information technology, and social media. So they're helping us with our arena operations, but also having tailored projects that focus on their programs outside of their individual course of study and enhance their course of study. As we move to the next slide, we'll talk a little bit more about that course of study with the esports industry professions minor, which is a just like the sports management program, esports, like we said, very holistic, very across the board, running the gamut. You don't just need the gameplay-centric careers like players and coaches. There are opportunities for business-focused pathways like social media, event management, event production, all the different areas there. And so the minor really focuses on that and allows the students to focus on whatever their major field of study is, while also then giving them that supplemental information to give them subject matter expertise in the field of esports. The program is hosted by the College of Education in the Department of Kinesiology and Physical Education. And so we're very excited to have opportunities to work with them on that, such as we move to the next slide, the Career Lecture Series, which is a series of lectures featuring a diverse range of industry professionals across the board of esports and gaming. This has been a College Business Passport approved program since 22-23. Past lectures, as you see there, have been CEOs, doctors like Dr. Levi Harrison, VPs, lawyers, across the board. But I want to take the time to recognize a student within our program who has been a two-time member of our varsity teams. He is enrolled in the esports industry professions minor and is also a 2026 sports management student. So, Logan, I'd invite you to talk a little bit about your story.
Thank you. As Connor said, I am a graduate in 2026 for the sports management minor, or sports management degree, and I am currently enrolled in the sports industry professions minor, and I've also played two times for a League of Legends team. So one of the reasons why I ended up at the university wasn't really because of the education aspect of all of it, it was because of the esports aspect of it. And it was the fact that one of the big reasons was the arena, and I thought of a place where it could be like a second home, a place where I'd be able to hang out with people and play with people that have the same game interests as me. And one of the reasons why I ended up staying here was because of those experiences that I had. And normally, but I ended up having a hiccup in my education last spring, where I was a computer science major, and I decided to almost take a gap year. So I took the summer off because of mental health, and at first I wasn't actually going to come back to the university, but because of thinking about the minor and thinking about the fact that I really wanted to stay in esports because I've had so many great experiences with it, I ended up in my new degree, which I am currently a sports management major. Now, my mental state is much better, and I'm very, very happy that I'm here, and I'm really happy that I didn't take the gap year, because the experiences that I've had as a competitor and with my team and even with just the minor, they are experiences that I never thought I would be able to have. And hopefully, after I graduate, I would love to coach, and I would love to work for the program, and hopefully one day become a director of esports, but I do thank you very much. And not to Connor.
All right. And we can move to the last slide to wrap us up. But thank you, Logan, for that. So just a little bit, we wanted to run through and throw our contact information up there. We do have this all on our website for any interested parties that if you have any students that you know might have an interest in esports and want to learn more. These things are all on our website. So there is a contact form where students have a direct link to the NIU interest form, and it pre-fills that they have an interest in esports, and then they get signed up to get directed emails about our program and the different things that that encompass that, as well as we have a form on there as well for people that are not students. So if anybody here wanted to get more information through our newsletter or anything, that would be the contact form for that. So that's on every page on our website. But thank you guys once again for your time, and we'd love to open the floor for any questions that you might have.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Trustees, any questions that any of you all have? Eric? Trustee Wozniak?
Yes, that's pretty interesting stuff. I'm curious, are we still doing stuff at Naperville?
No, so right now, when we moved into our new arena in spring of 2022, we actually kind of downsized our operations. We were able to really centralize our focus on the DeKalb campus, and so then we were able to utilize equipment that had been in Naperville, okay, to and Hoffman Estates for that matter, to move into the new space.
Because that's the first time I ever saw those really cool chairs,
mm-hmm,
that are, yes, there, and yes, and they look great. So I'm curious, are we involved? So you guys are all players. Anybody involved in development at all of games?
So that's certainly an avenue that people go down. It's not something that we necessarily have an expertise in our program right now, but it is something that is part of the wider world of esports, yes.
Okay. I will say this, Connor, with the amount of students we have who are currently learning how to code, they're on their way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you were a computer science major, it was kind of making me think of that.
So. Yeah. I swapped very, very, very quickly.
Yeah. It's better than C++, but
yeah.
Trustee Barthema.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Thank you. That was great. And are you governed at all by any of the NCAA regulations relative to name, image, and likeness and such?
No. So the program is not under the NCAA athletics in any way. That's an important distinction. The MAC does not regulate our programming. ESC is, while the member institutions have a lot of overlap, it is a separate nonprofit institution, and so the competition is completely separate from NCAA regulation.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yep.
Trustee Strong.
I just want to also commend your leadership in this and the development as a grandfather of an eight-year-old who's trying to teach me how to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
How's
that going for you?
Not well.
How's that working out?
Yeah. I mean, this is an amazing field of development in this, and I've had the benefit of a nephew who has worked in this industry for 25, 30 years out in California, a senior programmer in a lot of development of gaming software. But the question I have is on this. You mentioned the stakes, the lowest stakes for this gaming for all. Is there because you can get into professional this where gamers are compensated for their play? Is there compensation that comes to the players here at the university or the university in this? And I'm just curious to what extent.
Yeah. So that's kind of the. One of the main parts of our varsity program is because it is that highest commitment to improvement and competition for our players. The players are practicing anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a week. They're committing 10 to 15 hours to gameplay each week as well outside of that. And so there is a $500 a year scholarship associated with that for our students. At the club level, that's kind of what separates the clubs from that varsity program, is that the club members are doing so on more of a volunteer basis. They may be practicing, they may not. It's less of a commitment in that way. Similar to, very similar to the athletics model, where the club sports, you don't necessarily have that commitment to practice every week. Some do, some don't. But the varsity side is going to be much more involved.
Do individual players can they earn payouts or fees for their play? I mean, again, at the professional level, mm-hmm. I mean, gamers play for money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the collegiate level here, are they allowed to play in those professional circles?
Yes, there is not that restriction. That is another one of those main differences between ESC and the MAC. Is that there is no restriction on player earnings. So if somebody is playing in their own time and is streaming or making money in other fashions while playing, they're totally allowed to do so.
I would also note that the nature of professional and collegiate participation in esports is different from what you would expect from traditional sports, where one would graduate from school and then be ineligible for collegiate play. In regards to esports, many professional players move on to play professionally before they enter college, and some will then come back to collegiate spaces and play at collegiate teams. This has been seen in some of the matches that we have played. In fact, I only mention that because Logan and his teammates did play up against a professional in one of their scrim games, and they aced them, which is a term you might not know, but it is very good, and we all got very excited when we saw it happen in the arena.
One more follow-up question from Trustee Barsina.
Sure. Thank you. So we've all heard about and such the effects of online gambling and such and betting. Is that an issue at all in your sport in terms of betting, folks betting on your players? And because it is an individual sport, clearly.
Sure. So, and
if so, how is that regulated?
Yeah. So, I mean, within our code of conduct, we spell out no gambling or betting in any way because of the university regulations surrounding
that.
That's
for our
but
players.
Yes, correct. So,
how about the outside world? Has gambling entered esports? I guess that's my question.
Yes, it has. And it has very similar regulations to sports gambling. It in some ways, esports is recognized within some circles and some regulations as a traditional sport. And so you see similar regulations in some areas, not all. And so that's kind of where. It's not necessarily something that affects us within the university, but it is something that affects the industry.
Yeah. Are you banned if you're found to be gambling?
There have been professional players that have been found to be taking bets on their own games and fixing games, and yes, there have been bans that have been handed out for that. So yes, just like traditional sports, when it becomes an issue, there are...
Pete Rose rule.
Exactly.
I don't think we have any more questions, but I want to say thank you. You've given us an opportunity to see kind of behind the screens of the student experience, and it's invaluable to us, and I appreciate that. And that's for all of our speakers stated today. It gives us an opportunity to see what's going on behind the scenes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're actually now on agenda item number 7, and this is the President's Report 183.
Thank you, Chair Gales. The following items have been moved to consent agenda. Agenda item 7A1, City of DeKalb Fire Services Agreement. Agenda item 7A2, Surplus Real Estate Property Determination, Laredo Taft Campus. Agenda item 7A3, Internal Audit Department Charter.
May I have a motion to approve consent agenda items as read by President Freeman?
So moved, Barsima.
Second, Wazowicz.
Any discussion? Hearing none, call a question. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Information items 7B1 through 7B12 were discussed at the November 7th, 2024 committee meetings. Is there interest from our board members in revisiting any of these forwarded information items?
Appears not.
All right. Agenda items 7C1 through 7C3 are being presented to the board directly from the president and have not been previously considered by the Board of Trustees. Members of the university leadership team look forward to answering any questions and addressing any concerns regarding these items. Agenda item 7C1 is the 2025 university goals. Since 2018, the Board of Trustees has considered annual and multi-year goals presented by the president on behalf of the university. Further, since 2020, the goals have been guided by the themes of NIU's action planning framework. The goals are an important means to describe our plans and priorities, communicate timelines and progress, and encourage shared accountability. By design, the goal-setting process is collaborative and informed by the efforts and insights of shared leadership and shared governance groups, university executive and academic leadership, and of course, the Board of Trustees. During the fall semester, the progress the university has made on the previous year's goals is reviewed and used to develop goals for the upcoming year. New issues are also identified, along with strategies to address them. After discussion with stakeholders, annual university goals are finalized and presented to the Board of Trustees for approval. This annual planning cycle gives NIU flexibility to document progress, react to changing circumstances, and recognize new priorities. For example, this year, general goals and specific objectives related to resource development and fiscal sustainability are included under each theme, because it is imperative that the university community work together to achieve a balanced budget in fiscal year 26. To accomplish this, we will recognize that the value of our teaching scholarship and engagement cannot be described simply in financial terms. But we will also acknowledge that our resources are limited, and it is our obligation to plan, budget, and prioritize in ways that center and serve students as we work to eliminate the budget deficit. I'll stop there for now and welcome comments and/or questions from the trustees about any or all of the goals during consideration of the university's recommendation. The university recommends that the Board of Trustees approve the 2025 goals presented in Agenda Item 7C1.
May I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Davis.
Can I get a second?
Second, O'Brien.
Now, time for discussion. Any of us have discussion we'd like to offer for this item? I just want to say one thing, and that's the president said a couple of key words there. One was collaboration. It was a great deal of collaboration with the board. This is a process that we value because it allows us to keep the university on focus. And although we don't want to emphasize that the fiscal thing is the thing that we're striving for, I think I can speak for everyone on the board, it's about being student-centered. It's about the student experience. So with that said, I invite other comments from the board. Trustee Athens.
Just following up on your comments, Chair, I think the goals represent a balance that was needed between both fiscal responsibility and the fact of our mission to the students and to the university. And while that's sometimes difficult to work out, I think the balance achieved through these goals really fits both of those criteria.
You're here. Trustee Wozlitz.
Yeah, I just want to, commend President Freeman and her team for, again, pulling together a lot of different thoughts and ideas on this. And I know this is a lot of work to do all of this. And obviously, we face a lot of issues here, especially from the fiscal side. And but we keep this focus in mind. So just our last presentation here showed some of the themes that we're focused on, even when doing esports. You may not think it does, but that ties into everything that we're doing here at the university.
Yes.
So there's a lot of thought that goes into this, and it's a compass for us to follow. So congratulations on all the hard work that you've done on this. And I know it's not just you, it's your team. So thanks.
Any other comments? Justice Barcino?
I would just also echo, I know there were a number of one-on-one calls between Dr. Freeman and her team and the Board of Trustee members. And so I just want to thank you all for having open ears and to listen and to take into account and regard the comments from the individual board members to reach these goals. I would echo what Trustee Athas said. I think these goals this year, as they have in past years, represent and support the mission and values of NIU. So great job.
I'd also just like to comment, having come on the Board of Trustees a year ago, this is my first time going through this process end to end over the last couple of months in the development of this, and I want to thank the leadership of the university, Dr. Freeman and the other trustees, for the intensive process that went into developing this and reviewing every line of these goals to assure that we were prioritizing items in the right order. And I agree. I mean, this is, to me, it's all about student success, and that's the purpose. And this Saturday at the commencement, that's the culmination. I mean, that in a way, in my mind, that's why we exist, to get those students across the podium with their degree ready to meet the world. It does come with challenges, and obviously, as we look at the budget issues and balancing our goals of balancing the budget, our enrollment issues, and the desire to move the enrollment back in the upward direction, these are all pieces that fit together. And I do appreciate the work that Dr. Freeman and the other leadership through all the departments here in this collaboration put together. This is a step forward, and we will continue to move forward. Thank you.
Well said.
Trustee Brian. Yeah, Trustee Strom and I are in a similar boat. This was also my first time going through this process. So I'd just like to say it was an honor to go through it, and thank you to President Freeman and the entire team for being as thorough as you were in these 2025 goals. Everyone has said it on this board so far that these goals are student-centric, but I think it means a lot more when I say it because I am a student.
Yes,
I saw the process. I saw how we reached these final goals, and I would just like to reaffirm the statement that all the other trustees have made, that students are at the heart of the entire goal planning process throughout every single theme, throughout every single sentence, word, as Strom said, that goes into it. Students are at the core of what these decisions were made. So I'd just like to say thank you again for the team, and it was an honor to be a part of this process.
Thank you for that comment. Any other, Trustee Butler?
I would just add that the process has been in an evolution for many years, and I would say personally this is the year in which I saw the process become a much more natural function of the board's relationship to the campus, and really proud of what we've been able to create here. There's a repeat of the structure over the several years that we've done this, but you'd have to go into the document itself to see that under each of those headings is a very different agenda, and some new and refreshing focus on areas that haven't been focused on in the past, but you'd have to get in there to see it. So if anybody is looking for a way to understand what the institution is seeking to accomplish, this is the place to go.
Any other comments? I want to say this to my fellow trustees, thanks for those comments. It's very insightful. With that, we're going to call a question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Agenda item 7C2, request for a new degree and minor in Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science in Criminology. The university seeks approval for a Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science in Criminology degree program and minor to be offered and housed in the Department of Sociology within the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. We are excited about elevating what has been a very popular emphasis to a degree program. This move will make the academic opportunity more obvious to interested students and also help the university tailor a curriculum that reflects the interdisciplinary nature of criminology and prepares students for post-graduation success. We appreciate the Board of Trustees considering this request as an item directly from the President today, rather than waiting for the February meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee and the March meeting of the full board, because we are eager to promote the program to prospective students to grow enrollment in criminology. Dean Brinkman is here to answer any questions from the trustees that I can't manage, and the university recommends that the Board of Trustees approve the Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, and minor in criminology.
We have a motion to approve.
Second, Wasowitz.
Any discussion? We have the dean here. Any discussion? Trustee Athas?
Just a question as far as the job opportunities that a degree like this, what would be the type of programs that students would go into or jobs that they would seek?
Thank you for that question. There's actually quite a growing number of jobs available. You know, criminology is one of those fields where it's wide-ranging. Some people perceive it as a pathway to law enforcement, but really, that's not all the opportunity that's out there. A lot of our sociology graduates already, with the emphasis in criminology, work in everything from support in courtrooms, support in social services, and a wide variety of areas. And so already we see that our students that have graduated with that emphasis are doing pretty well out there in the market.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Barsamo.
How many students are currently in the emphasis?
Over the last few years, we've had over 301 students take the certificate program, and in the department has a couple of hundred majors right now, and of that, about 60 to 70% of those are criminology emphasis. And if I could just say one thing too, I really want to thank the department for all the work that they did on this. Because Abu Bah, who was here earlier but he had to leave, is a brand new chair of sociology, and he took this on, and they worked so hard in the department to move this forward in a very collegial way in the unit, and it went very smoothly.
So acknowledged. Trustee Wadsworth.
So I'm curious, how much does this compete with other programs, not only within state of Illinois universities, but states around us as well?
Yes, criminology is a common degree program at many universities, but it's not one of those things where we see that there's a lot of competition internally. We don't really have any competition on campus for this. And around the state, there are other criminology degrees at other universities, but the demand is such that we feel like there's not really a competition.
There's a high demand even within the other state
universities. Exactly. I mean, many universities that I've seen, it's been one of the top enrolling degree areas. So I'm really excited to move forward with this because we think that this will attract new students to NIU and provide all kinds of new opportunities for our existing students as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Strong.
Do you have an idea of how many that go through this program end up possibly going into law school? I mean, I'm assuming you see that already with some of the students. Do you think this is going to increase the likelihood?
I do, and I have a good relationship with our terrific dean of the law school, and we've already been developing a number of pathways for our programs into law. I'm really pleased that she's been actually teaching a course in our political science department that provides pathways for our students in political science to move directly into our law school or any law school in the country, actually. So we're very aggressively looking at how we can do more of that from the college to our law school.
Seemed like a lot of good synergies there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Any more questions? I'm going to call a question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item 7C3, Energy Savings Project Update, is an information item designed to update the trustees about the evolution of our energy savings contract with Trane. In November, NIU completed the sale of tax-exempt certificates of participation issue, and the final pricing metrics are presented in the board item. As projected, the energy savings, which will be guaranteed via a guaranteed savings contract with the energy savings provider Trane, will more than offset debt service throughout the term of financing. Specifically, the estimated savings over the 24.4-year period is $122.3 million, of which Trane has guaranteed $102 million over the first 20 years. Materials acquisition and concrete work on foundations will be accomplished this calendar year to an extent that meets the threshold of having 5% of the materials on site or work completed by year end to ensure the applicable expiring federal incentives are preserved for the project. A general high-level schedule for project elements is presented in the item, and Vice President Middlemist is available to answer any questions.
I don't think we have any questions here. So.
In the absence of questions, that concludes the President's report.
I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
Never mind.
Trustee Barsamo.
I'm sorry. A little delayed there. I just want to make note to the fact that we were six and a half times oversubscribed on the offering. That's incredible. So great job, George, by you and your team in terms of getting this out and exceeding the expectations that we had relative to the financing. So that's awesome. Great job.
Thank you.
And, you know, if I could just add one piece of answer to the thanks that you gave. George and his team did an amazing job on the financing and working out the details of the schedule. But this was truly an effort that involved academic affairs because of the student opportunities that are built into this collaboration. And Courtney Gallagher from our office, who's our sustainability coordinator, was critical to making this work all across the campus and finding all of the touch points for TRAIN and for energy savings and sustainability. So kudos to everyone who helped with this.
Very good. I think we have a comment by Trustee Strom as well.
I just want to comment. I mean, it was interesting to see. So this offering on this debt was oversubscribed, which resulted in a more favorable rate for us than was initially emphasized.
That's also correct. We got to shave the interest a little bit.
Yeah, which is a interesting time and point with what's going on with interest rates here lately. So thank you for the work on that.
Okay. I think we can move on now.
In that case, this does conclude the president's report.
Very good. We will now move to the chair's report number 112. Item 8A is a closed session minutes review and release. May I have a motion to approve?
So move, Wozowicz.
So move, Wozowicz. Sorry, I didn't read mine.
Second, Athus.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call a question. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Agenda item number 9, other matters. Are there any other matters requiring the attention of the board today? Hearing none, we'll move to the next regularly scheduled meeting of the full Board of Trustees is March 20th, 2025 at 9 a.m. With that said, we'll move to closed session. The board needs to go into closed session. We do not plan to take up any new business following the closed session. May I have a motion to close the public meeting to conduct a closed session to discuss the following subjects authorized by the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Closed session minutes matters as generally described under Section 2C21 of the Open Meetings Act. Collective bargaining matters as generally described under Section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act. Litigation and risk management matters as generally described under Sections 2C11 and 12 of the Open Meetings Act. There's more. Real estate matters as generally described under Section 2C5 and 6 of the Open Meetings Act. Student disciplinary cases matters as generally described under Sections 2C11 and 12 of the Open Meetings Act. Personnel matters as generally described under Sections 2C1, 2, 3, and 21 of the Open Meetings Act. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Wozowicz.
Ms. Doyle, will you please take a roll call vote to close the meeting?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Aidan O'Brien?
Yes.
Trustee Leland Strom?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozowicz?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes. The public meeting is now closed. I'll hit the gavel.